And so from a perspective of the lesson this morning, I want you to turn to Psalms chapter 16 and just kind of keep your marker there for the duration of this morning's two sermons. And again, as you guys have known me by now, my lessons that I usually do at Fairborn and gospel meetings, I have a hard time keeping it about 20 minutes or so. So we'll take another two-part lesson here this morning. And so we'll look at Psalms chapter 16 this morning. And again, keep your Bibles open there for the better part of the sermon today. So as we look over this past year, and I want to kind of start off by saying I'm not one that typically does sermons based on holidays and stuff like that, especially with controversial issues and things along those lines. I would just say that no matter how you live your life, no matter how you celebrate birthdays or holidays or anything of that nature, look through the Word of God. And if those are offline conversations that you'd like to have with me or any of the brethren, I'm sure we'd be open to having those discussions. But I just hope everybody takes some time this next week away from work, away from stresses of life, spend time with your parents, spend time with your family, and just have a good time being together as a family, and like we oftentimes will do, and hopefully continue to do, being together as a church family as well. But when I look back on 2018, this is kind of my end of year sermon that I like to do from time to time, and I always kind of mold my sermons from year to year. But as I look back over 2018, every single one of us can look at the year and have good things to say, and no doubt have negative things to say. This year, to me personally, was kind of like opening up a present, and it contained an electronic, and you're really excited to get it, and you go and plug it in. Maybe it's a brand new computer or something, right? You go to plug it in, you press the power button, and it didn't work. And to me, that's kind of how this year has felt to me. I've had my ups and I've had my downs. I've had challenges. I've had optimistic opportunities. I've had pessimistic things happen to me as well. And so this year has brought challenges, no doubt to me as an individual, to my family, with the health of my little boy that we've been experiencing good times and bad times with as well, and collectively as a congregation. Specifically at the Fairborn congregation, we went through an extremely challenging year this year with so many people that were out sick, so many people having surgeries. We had a brother that was deployed for 6 months, and his wife went through a very, very difficult time with that, with some depression and anxiety and stuff like that. And so when I think about this past year, I have to think to myself, Brock, did you grow or did you shrink? And in what areas did you grow and what areas did you shrink? Did you accomplish your goals that you had set out to accomplish at the beginning of this year? Or did you fail at a lot of the goals that you had wanted to accomplish this year? With every question, I have to ask within myself, why and why not? And so then when I look at 2019 coming in just around the corner, I have to set a new set of goals. And, you know, we're here at, what, December 22nd, 23rd now. I have to ask myself, what are those goals? Many people have already started setting their goals months prior to this. You know, and come January 1, especially at Wright-Patterson Air Force Base where I work, we have a big base gym and there are two big hangars. And the first really and truly month of January, you cannot find a machine if your life depended on it. Everybody is there. Everybody has the goal, I'm going to get healthy, I'm going to lose weight, I'm going to do everything I can do to get into the gym as much as I can. And then February starts hitting, and then March starts hitting, and all of a sudden you start seeing those machines open up because people's goals of getting in shape and losing a few physical pounds and stuff like that have decimated. They've completely gone away. And so they think to themselves, well, I'll start, even in March and April, they'll think to themselves, well, come November, December next year, I'll start working on that goal again and start getting motivated for that again. But it's important every single year we take inventory. And a lot of the retail stores, I worked retail for about 5 years when I was in college and stuff. At the end of every year, they take an inventory. They look to see how much product and supply they have, what's the demand, what are some of the new products coming in. And so oftentimes they'll stay after hours and they'll go through each box, each shelf, each cabinet, everything, and take an inventory of their store and an inventory of their services. And I think it is so important that not only human beings, but Christians do that exact same thing. Take a look at life. Open up the cupboards, look at some places of life that maybe we haven't touched basis on in a while. Maybe think about some things that we set out to do at the beginning of this year, and for whatever reason, we failed to get to that. And guys, we're notorious for this, aren't we? Where we say, that's a project that I'm going to do here very, very soon, and it's collected dust for months and months and months. And one of my favorite shows is American Pickers. I don't know if you've seen that show or not. I think it's on the History Channel, but these guys going around to these different barns, and most of the time there are a lot of elderly people that have collected things for 30, 40, and 50 years. And so one of the guys will say, hey, let me buy that off of you. And it's this old rusted piece of junk that's just been sitting there and rotting for years and years. And more often times than not, the guy will say, well, I'm going to get to that. I'm going to restore it. I'm going to fix it up. And the guys are like, come on, it's been sitting here for 35, 40 years, you know. So oftentimes we find ourselves doing that exact same thing. This area in my life, me being a better husband, I'm going to get to that. Me being a better parent, you know, I'm going to get to that one of these days. Me being a better Christian, you know, I've been talking about needing to study with fellow brothers and sisters in Christ more. And you know what? I need to uncover that. I need to get back into that. And so when we set our personal goals for 2019, I think it's so important that we uncover some things that maybe we've been struggling with in life. And maybe look at our accomplishments that we did this past year. How were we able to accomplish those things? Maybe we can utilize some of those resources or mindsets or things in our hearts to accomplish other goals in our life. And so, I've already kind of talked about this, but whether we look back on this year and we consider it a good year, a bad year, no matter who we are, what shoes you might be in, this year has been a gift from God. You are here today when there are so many other people that are not, that no doubt wish that they could be back here to be amongst loved ones and those of like precious faith. A lot of people will say to ourselves, and I'm one included to be honest with you, I can't wait to put 2018 in my rearview mirror and move forward in life and doing some things differently. And one of the things I got to honestly say that I'm very blessed with is to be reacquainted with all of you guys. This is a congregation that I had visited for, when was the last time? It's probably been years and years and years, but through all of the responsibility, through all the things that we call life that I've had going on, it's very difficult for me to go and visit other congregations. And so I'm very thankful to have this opportunity and the past several months opportunity and maybe the ones even going forward opportunity to get reacquainted with a lot of you guys and to meet some of you guys that I've never met before and to hopefully study more. And my goal is to help you be better, and I hope your goal is to help me be better as well. But regardless, this year is a gift from God. With every great challenge, though, that no doubt all of us have had, we come with great blessings. And Kyle mentioned this a little bit already in our Bible study this morning. The diverse temptations that we fall into, right? We count it joy. We count it a blessing. We should be happy. Well, why is that? Because it helps us work on patience. And I'm telling you right now, whether you're a parent or a grandparent, you've got to work on that. And I sincerely believe, I think I've told the story several times, but when my wife and I got married, we had like a 3-4 year plan. We wanted to travel and just get to know each other more after we got married and just enjoy married life. And about 18 months later, here comes Brady. And so our plans were very much altered. And I think, continue to think to myself, of course, that was one of the most challenging parts of my life is I'm 23 years old, I'm barely married, and now I got to learn how to be a father. But if you ask my mother especially, I greatly struggled with patience throughout my collegiate years and throughout my high school years and stuff like that. And so having him come into my life, I had to learn patience and I had to learn it real quick. And at 34 years old, I'm still learning patience. And so I consider that a great blessing to be able to have. Job chapter 2 and verse 10, the end of part of that, he says, what? Shall we not receive good at the hand of God? And shall not we receive evil? We're going to have good things and we're going to have bad things happen to us in life. And I think we all know that by now. So while secular society is obsessed with weight loss and exercise more faithfully. And again, that seems to be the number one goal of New Year's resolutions, if that's what you want to call it. The New Year also gives us as Christians to make spiritual strides, to make spiritual changes, to do things differently from a spiritual perspective. And I want to caution all of us to not only look at this as individuals, but let's look at this as a congregation of the Lord's church. Let's look at us collectively as a unit. Let's think to ourselves, it's not about what Kyle or Cody or Brock or Roger, either one of them, want to do, you know. It's about what will work best for us collectively as a congregation of the church. And what does that look like? I stand before the pulpit. I talk about this in announcements, and I always tell people, if there's something that's going to work better for you, bring that to the table. Maybe that's instead of leading five songs, we lead four. Maybe that's, you know, cutting Bible study off for 5 minutes or something. Maybe that's changing the dynamic or changing the way that we do and conduct worship services. I think so many times we get stuck in this rut of, well, this is tradition. This is the way that it's always been. And we fail to stop and realize, wait, yeah, this is the way we've always been doing it, but maybe we can make some changes. Maybe we can have some more gospel meetings. Maybe we can have more collective Bible studies. Maybe we can maybe have some more songs and cut back on the Bible study or preaching a little bit or something. Which if you do that, please let me know so I can start scaling these down even a little bit more. So we have to think about this as individuals, and we have to think about this collectively as a unit as well. So goal number one, and we'll look at the first two goals, and then goals three and four in the second part of our sermon this morning. Number one, my New Year's resolution and my goal is that I'm going to realign myself with God and the godly. Look at Psalms chapter 16 and the first four verses here. Here he says, "Preserve me," and this is a writing of David. "Preserve me, O God, for in thee do I put my trust. O my soul, thou hast said unto the Lord, thou art my Lord, and my goodness extends not to thee. But to the saints that are in the earth, and to the excellent, in whom is all my delight, their sorrow shall be multiplied, their hasten after another God. Their drink offerings of blood will I not offer, nor take up their names into my lips." And so what David here is essentially saying, he says, God, preserve me, help me, push me through, Lord. And he says, for in thee do I put my trust. He says, and again in verse 2, "My soul, thou hast said unto the Lord, thou art my Lord." And we all say that, don't we? He is my God. He is my creator of the heavens and the universe. But what's David here says? But my goodness does not extend to him. And so what David here is essentially saying is, I need to realign myself. I need to get my mind back focused on what it needs to be focused on. He says in 3 again, "But to the saints that are in the earth, and to the excellent, in whom is all my delight, their sorrow shall be multiplied. Because they hasten after another God. Their drink offerings of blood will I not offer, nor take up their names into my lips." I'm not even going to mention. I'm not even going to talk about. I'm not even going to associate with other gods. My focus and my alignment has to be to the true God. The Alpha, the Omega, as Revelation says, the beginning and the end. I'm here because of God. I have the blessings in my life because of God. I can't take credit for the things that I have in my life. Every single day is a blessing from God. And so I will take refuge in the Lord through prayer and study. I will be the first person to admit to all of you, I do not pray enough. I do not pray near enough. And in fact, when I tell myself, man, I need to start praying a little bit more often, right? Is when, for whatever reason, it just skips. Right, I'm not praying as much as I need to be praying. Now, in recent years, I've also kind of noticed myself, I have about a 10-15 minute drive to Wright-Patterson Air Force Base, and so I'll turn the car radio off, and I'll just have a conversation with God, like He's sitting right there in my passenger seat. And I'll thank Him for the blessings, I'll thank Him for the trials and temptations that I've gone through, I'll thank Him, and I'll ask Him for things. It's just like I'm having a conversation with God. But maybe in general, we need to make prayer more of a higher priority this year. Have you ever, and this is just an open-ended question, have you ever offered prayer to God, and when you got done with that prayer, said, man, I feel like a slug. Man, I feel terrible after that prayer. I've never have, and I've never heard somebody say that either. after you pray to God, it's almost like that venting, right? You get a good girlfriend or a good guy friend or something that you're just venting to. And I talked to a fellow Christian, and I talked to him for an hour on the phone, and I talked for maybe about 5 minutes. And total, collectively. And after that phone conversation, my friend said, "Man, I feel better. Thanks for listening to me." And I hardly said a word. Sometimes we just need to vent. Sometimes we just need to have that conversation. And how better, tell me better of a person or situation out there that we could vent to other than to God. He knows the number of stars in the heavens, and He names them one by one. He knows the number of hairs on our head. He knows you better than you know yourself. And that is a very difficult concept for non-believers to kind of grasp hold onto. He created us. He's responsible for us. Granted, we make our own decisions and choices, but the things we have in this life are because of God. And thanks be to God for that. And so when I think about the time and effort and energy that goes into through prayer and study, and let's look at some statistics behind this. Out of 8,670 hours this past year, how much time did I devote to communicating with God or studying more about His expectations towards me? Granted, you got to take a chunk of that and say, well, I was sleeping. If you're a parent of young children, it's probably a lot less than you guys with parents without children. And I know Jenna is staring a hole in me right now. But, we got to understand that taking away the time of sleep, how much time, effort, and energy, if you put a collage together of how many hours you spent in entertainment, how many hours you spent on the phone, get this, how many hours we spent on electronics, I would dare say that the hours we spend on our phones and electronics far surpass any time that we spent towards devoting to God. And that is self-included, if I'm being honest with you. How much time are we willing to devote to God? So maybe there's been some things this year that's taken me away from God, taken me away from my focus on God. Last year, maybe I was a gossip. Last year, maybe I did not control my tongue, as you guys are going to be studying about in James soon. I didn't control my tongue or my mouth as much as I needed to. Maybe last year, I let some Christian living or Christian principles kind of decimate a little bit and go away a little bit. And now I need to realign myself with God and get back on the right track. All of our cars' tires need what? Every 5,000 miles, I think, they encourage you to get a what? Get a realignment. So that it saves tires, saves the tread, saves the wear and tear on your tires. And so you take them to the auto mechanic shop, you let them do their thing. If you bought your tires at tire discounters, it's free of charge by balance and rotation. You know where I get my tires now. And so maybe sometimes we as Christians have to kind of take ourselves in the shop, right? We need to take a step back. We need to take a deep breath. And make sure that we are doing our due diligence to realign ourselves with God and the godly. My peers will be more actively godly. Maybe I've been hanging around the wrong crowd. And young folks, I've been there and I've done that. And I know how difficult it is. You want to be socially acceptable. You don't want to be the sore thumb that sticks out. I know how difficult that is. The older I get, the more thankful I am that I did not go with that crowd. And I had to put away some relationships that I had for a long time. But some of my friends went in a direction that I know as a Christian I could not go and be pleasing and acceptable in the sight of God. Have you ever been, maybe you work with somebody that is just a Debbie Downer all the time. The glass is always half empty. Life is always terrible. There's always bad things going on in their life. And it drains you after a while. Not even the job, but just talking to that person, you're like, oh my goodness, I need to take a mental health day tomorrow just to get away from, you know, old Bob that sits next to me or something. We have to be careful about who we are fellowshipping with. We enjoy fellowship with those like us, don't we? We enjoy those of like precious faith. Amber and I were fortunate enough, we wanted to have kind of what we call an outdoor movie night with a bunch of Christian friends and family, but the rain kind of came in, but you know, we had a few of our friends over. That it was just so refreshing, and we got two or three text messages in the coming days and said, "Man, that was so nice That was so refreshing just to be able to be with fellow Christians, to play some games, and to catch up with those that we hadn't talked to in quite some time. We talked to those about our favorite hobbies, about our favorite sports teams and stuff like that. What about those who are Christian? You know, what about those of like precious faith? And 1 Corinthians 9, 19 through 26, I've quoted that many times here, and I'm not going to take the time this morning to go to that, because I want to go to our goal number two. Goal one, again, is if you need a spiritual resolution, I'm going to realign myself, right? I'm going to help my the wear and tear of my body or my spiritual self. I'm going to realign myself with God and those who are spiritually minded. That does not mean everyone has to be Church of Christ or anything, mind you. But be around those who have a spiritual mindset. And then you can be the good example after you get to know that person, establish the rapport and connection and relationship, to maybe do some Bible studies and talk about maybe some differences that you have. Goal number two is that I'm going to cultivate contentment and seriously just enjoy my life. We don't enjoy life as much as we need to enjoy. I'm not saying throw parties and drink ourselves into oblivion. I'm not talking about enjoying life as secular society teaches us that we should enjoy life. I'm talking about just enjoying the life that God has blessed us enough and been fortunate enough to give us. Psalms 16 verses 5 and 6 says, "The Lord is the portion of mine inheritance and of my cup. Thou maintainest my lot." He maintains me. He sustains me. "The lines are fallen unto me in pleasant places. Yeah, I have a goodly inheritance." Well, think about that just for a second. I have this goodly inheritance. I will view my blessings as allotments from God. As God is, you know, kind of passing them out and giving them to me, giving me those presents of life. I'm going to receive those from God, and I'm going to be thoroughly thankful for that. I don't know how many times you see, I know there's on late night television shows and stuff where they kind of play tricks on kids. And one of the tricks that I saw in one of the late night shows was the parents were playing tricks on their kids when they took away their Halloween candy. And so they wake up the next day and they says, "Hey, I want my candy." So, "Oh, we threw it all away." And the kids go ballistic. They go nuts. They cry and they scream and stuff. You see kids that are opening up a present. All of us have kids that have had birthdays, no doubt. And when the kids are opening up the presents and they hold up the shirt that grandma got them, and then do what? "Where's the toys at? I don't want this. I don't want clothes. I don't want those. I want something that captures my attention." Mom and dad are saying, "Bring on the clothes." Yeah, you know, we need clothes for this child. But that's just a case in point of what sometimes Christians do as well. We're handed gifts and blessings from God. We take one look at them and say, "Oh, that's not what I wanted." And we throw it over our shoulder and move on to something that's more thrilling, right? That captures our attention more. All the blessings, all the gifts that God has given us, we need to wrap up into our arms and say, "Thank you, Lord. Thank you for what I have." And that's a lesson we're trying to teach our kids as well. We don't give them any presents, any trips, anything without them understanding how they've earned it. We have done nothing for God to give us what we have, but how thankful that we are and have what we have. There are so many orphanages and places that are in poverty. Cody probably knows this and travels to India and stuff like that don't have near what we have in the United States of America. And the same thing applies to Christians as well. People, we have things that people would absolutely give their entire life for. And we are not thankful enough. I need to speed this up. I'm sorry. I will cultivate the habit of giving thanks and blessing His high and holy name. Everything that I do is going to be because of God. One thing that I've gotten into a habit of, if people tell me, if people help me or something, or people say, "Thank you very much," I'll say, "Hey, take care. God bless. May God bless you." And I hope God does. I pray that God blesses everybody that I come in contact with. And I hope that I was able to play just a small pivotal role in that person's life, to put a smile on their face or to give them a hug or a handshake or a thank you or a nice tip at a restaurant or something. I will trust that God will meet, will fill me with blessings that he believes I need. I tell you what, we have our list, and then God has his list for us. And how disgusted sometimes do we feel when we expect something and it doesn't end up happening? You go for that job interview, you killed it, you thought, and then you get the letter 5 days later, sorry, you were not offered the position. Well, who was? I was better than them. I deserved it better than... Instead of saying, you know what? There's got to be something else better for me. And I've got a job. I'm making decent money. I'm able to see my wife and kids more often. You know, I'm not getting home at 6 or 7 o'clock at night. Matthew 6, 25 through 34 is just filled with blessings that we need to be thankful that God gives us food, clothing, shelter. And he says, take no thought for any of those things. Don't worry. Don't worry. God will bless you with things that you need. And part B of this is I'm going to enjoy what God has given me. I'm not going to look at it and say, well, I don't need clothes. That's ridiculous. You know, I want something more shiny. I want something more attractive. I want something more entertaining. No, what God has given me, I'm going to be happy with, I'm going to be content with, and I'm going to be positive with it. If he gives me a mustard seed, the grain of a mustard seed, which I know is a relationship to faith, what the Bible says, but if that's what I'm given, I'm going to make the most of it. I'm not going to take the talents, that's another parable we could talk about, and go bury it and hide it. I'm going to take it and I'm going to utilize it to the best of my God-given ability. Do we all have the ability to preach? No. Do we all have the ability to lead song? No. Do we all have the ability to go knocking door to door? No. But you do have God-given abilities, and it's up to you to tap into those resources and utilize them to the best of your God-given ability. God has portioned me, again, being happy, positive, content, glass always half full, that's going to be my new norm. That's when people describe Brock Begley, it's going to be positive, it's going to be encouraging, it's going to be uplifting. And that is always the goal that I strive to be with anybody that I come in contact with. At Wright-Patterson Air Force Base, we're kind of lucky. Every 2 to 3 years, we can skip from office to office to office to office if we want and get new broadening scopes of work and stuff like that to kind of expand our resumes and stuff. And all the leaders and bosses meet called a Resource Advisors Board. And they talk, hey, I want this person, I want that person. And my mentor is one of those people. And thankfully, they said, I want you to know that your name comes up quite a bit and everybody wants you on their team. I'm telling you right now, it's not because I'm good at my job. math is my worst subject and I'm a financial manager, go figure. But it's hopefully because I bring a positive and encouraging attitude to everybody that I come in contact with. That's my goal and that's who I want to be. And God has portioned out many blessings for us. Yet we are tempted to negate them through cynicism, right? Through that pessimistic attitude, through negativism, and pretty much a thankless spirit. I got what I got because I've earned it. No. You got what you got because you made, hopefully, godly, inspired choices and decisions, and God has blessed you with these things. And be thankful for these things and these opportunities of life that God has so richly blessed you with. Guys, I'm sorry I've gone over time with the first portion, but if you're in the audience and not yet a Christian, use this opportunity as a way that we can assist you through baptism, through the remission of your sins, through complete obedience to the gospel plan of salvation, having faith, repenting, confessing Jesus Christ to be the Son of God and be buried in baptism for the remission of your sins. And if you are a Christian, maybe you struggle with the first 2 points. Well, we got 3 and 4 to talk about in a little bit. Let us pray with you and for you. While together we stand and sing a psalm of encouragement at this time. 652.